Well, God bless everybody. I count it a great privilege to be able to share God's Word today. And today, the title of the teaching is Letting Go Addictions, Mental Prisons. And this, in the Figure on the Pulse, is teaching number 4 in a little series that I'm doing that captions really how to cast down imaginations in every false thing that we've been learning over the past several years out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And today I wanted to address addictions and mental prisons because it's God's absolute will that we be delivered from any prison, any mental prison that binds, that captivates, that ensnares, that enslaves, that cast our lives in a life of negative living, a life that's below par, a life that has nothing to do with walking Christ-like. It's God's will that we be delivered from that. I want to take you to John chapter 8. These prisons I speak of are not prisons made of steel, although bars of steel are very confining, but they are prisons that are even more effective than bars of steel. They're the mental prisons. These are prisons that we need release from. We all have them. Nobody is accepted. We all deal with these things. And the deliverance that we all need is common to all. It's from God's Word. And we walk in deliverance every day. But how do we deal with life's addictions? Well, God's Word gives us the key. The key to being released, to open that door and to walk right out of that mental prison, to turn around and to close up that room, to shut the door, to bar it, to barricade it, to never go back in. In John chapter 8, I'd like to read verse 31, 32, and 36. And in verse 31 of John chapter 8, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Then this continuing is a continuing process. It's a lifestyle. It's a never walking away. It's a never turning against it for something else. You are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Freedom! Freedom from God's Word. It's not just words written on a page. It's a way of living. It's a way of living between our ears. Our minds are amazing. Our minds are like a superpower. And I'm not going to go too far other than to say that, except that everything that comes from our soul, our innermost being, comes from our minds. We direct our steps. We don't want our steps to be directed. In any mental prison that anybody is in, they've been directed into that. They have been forced to go to prison in their mind. And by exercising the mind properly, by learning what God's Word says, freedom will happen. Truth will make you free. In order to receive this type of release, guess what we need to do? We must believe God's Word and continue in it. Sound simple enough? Well, there's a subjecting to an arrangement, if you will, in life. And this arrangement in life is what I wanted to show you as we move on in this subject of addiction. There's things that are made by God. They're made by God for His pleasure, for His benefit, and they all stem from His authority and power. We were made by God for His pleasure, for His benefit. He loves us. We heard that in the manifestations. And all who subject themselves to the things of God, they're going to benefit. And that includes this freedom I speak of. Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, I'd like to read verse 1. Because this is that individual subjecting him or herself to God, to His Word. God's Word is what brings freedom. In order to walk in that freedom, one must subject him or herself to His Word. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Verse 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That means exousia, God's authority. For there is no power but of God. There is no exousia, and exousia is the Greek word authority. The word for power is the Greek word dunamis. The authority must go hand in hand with the dunamis in order for the dunamis to be activated and become living and real. All of this comes from God. He is the originator of it, the creator of it. It is His authority. It is His power. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whenever God's power gets manifested, that is something that God sets in order to be utilized among His people. But He is the creator of it, the originator of it. Anything ordained, anything set in order of God is not harmful. It is not binding. It is not prison-making. It is not devilish. It's not harmful. God's power is the only power. There is no other power. There's wannabes, but that's not the power of God. Others may masquerade as gods, little g, acting like they are all powerful. You may feel like certain things in life are inescapable, all powerful, but that's a lie, because there is no power but of God. That power got misused somehow. That power convinced one to step inside of a prison mentally. But there is no power but of God. Things and substances in life, they may appear all-consuming and all-powerful. Some of our thoughts sometimes, you know what I'm talking about. They may appear that they're unable to be negotiated with. It says do that and you must do that. You must stop everything and go do it, whatever it is. But God's power is the only power. God has set in order and arranged His power to be utilized by those desiring to arrange themselves underneath of it. One must subject themselves to God's authority in order for His dunamis to be activated. And when God's dunamis gets activated, prison bars fall down. Doors open. Lives get delivered. People are made free. That is God's word. That's not a joke. And that's not words just written on a page. Well, understanding a little bit about how our mind works is a little bit necessary here. Because we've all learned things about exercising our mind unto godliness, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, renewing our minds to God's word, casting down imaginations and every false thing. And for most, they're just words. They don't mean anything. You walk around living a life that may be subpar, that may not be Christ-like. Whenever a Christian does that, they are living subpar. They are living below the standard of God's word. They are in some type of prison. And God wants us delivered from that. And so we raise the bar. We put the bar where it needs to be. And that's a Christ-like bar. If you want to walk around discouraged, depressed, defunct, melancholy, barefoot, without, victimized, so be it. Well, we don't. But we all know people that do. And we all know what we go through when we feel like that, and we do. I'm just kind of laying it bare here. I got delivered from some things in my life several months ago, and they will never come back. I just call it, thanks to Jerry, I call it the kangaroo court in life, where you feel like you're victimized. You feel like that somebody has control over you, like they have to tell you what to do. You've got to do what they say. Well, he said, Joe, just walk out of that kangaroo court. Don't get abused. Give it back to them. Let them do whatever they want to do, but you are free. That changed my life. I speak to you today from that viewpoint. I am a delivered person. I have a lot more deliverance I need in my life. but I'm a delivered person. So understanding a little bit how our incredible minds work, it's going to help us in this renewed mind process, in this casting down process. So we need to look at a couple things. And I wanted to take a look at addictions in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to look at this because it doesn't make any sense. I have never met anybody that has been able to explain this to me in such a way that I could take what I knew about it and parallel it. I just couldn't do it. I am going to do that today for you. I'm going to show you some things. They are not conclusive. They're not all-knowing, but they will help direct us so that if we choose, we can do God's word form of addiction to His word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, this is addictions, God's word. It says in verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know, the house of Stephanas, that is, the first fruits of Archaea, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We're not going there, but if you make a note and go back up to verse 10, you'll see how that in context, it explains what this means. Some of the principles on what it means to addict oneself. And this word addict is the same word that we just read in Romans 13. I didn't say that. I just said, let every soul be subject. Subject has the Greek word in it that means to addict. It means to arrange, to set in order, to willfully, by choice, put yourself in a particular position or situation. If we don't do that as Christians, I guarantee you that our minds will do that for us and take us into the world's prisons. It will do that. It has to do that. It's designed to do that, to think of itself, to reason, to logic, and God gave the mind the ability to do that. Well, as Christians, we need to harness that, and we need to do it the God's word way. And the God's word way is to arrange oneself under the power and authority of God and to take and arrange with that authority toward God's people. And having said that, we can see very easily how that addicting ourselves, arranging ourselves, is toward a higher goal. From a higher authority with a greater power. And there is no power but of God. And if you think your mental prisons are inescapable, that's a lie. There is no power but of God. There is nothing on this earth that can stop the power of God. And if we choose to believe that, we're going to stay in those mental prisons. We're going to stay depressed. We're going to stay defunct. We're going to stay victimized. We're going to stay miserable. But we're not like that. We're not going to. We know we're not going to. I'm just making a point. I'm making a point from how the mind works. The mind's an amazing thing. We all have it. God gave it to us. Most people think of their mind as a place where thoughts happen, and that's about it. They don't even know how they got there, what they're doing. They don't know why they made them feel a certain way, why they have to go do something that they don't want to do. Even at the cost of harm to others, that's how the mind works, or it can work, sure. Well, part of the addicting themselves is toward a greater goal. Here in 1 Corinthians 16, it's to subject to and arrange one's life toward the ministry of the saints. That's a go-to place. That's safe. That's good. That's, you can put your all into that and never fall short. Sure. So right off the bat, when you think about addiction, from a worldly view, I just shared with you a tiny bit of God's viewpoint on what the word addiction means. Well, the world has taken that word addiction and given it the worst rap, given it the worst meaning. And it means nothing like what God's word says. There are parallels, being subject to a higher power, something that's masquerading itself as God in your life, that you drop everything for, that you forsake family, believers, life, jobs, relationships for. That's what the world's addiction is. And there is a power involved. But there's a greater power, and that's the power of our Heavenly Father. The next teaching I've got, it's finished, and it's about how to be obedient to that power, to our one true God. But it needs this first. Addiction is a disease. This is how the world teaches it. Like Addiction 101, it's like a disease. And there are attempts out there to treat it as such, like it's a disease. However, to say that it's a disease must mean that it affects an organ. To say that it affects an organ has to define what organ that is, the brain. And to say that that disease is affecting the brain, then it has to be defined on how to treat it. Is it treatable? Is it fixable? Is it helpable? You know, you can say somebody has a brain tumor, then they start acting a certain way, and you kind of forgive them, you forbear that because, well, they have a disease, they have a brain tumor, they have this. And so when they act out in anger, aggression, whatever, despondency, whatever, it's because of that. But when you have a neurological addiction, when you have something that's not right in the thought process and in the way somebody must feel and must do that thing, that's the world's addiction. But the defining of it shows you how that it is something in the brain. When there's an organ that has a defect, then there's a disease present. That's the parallel for the neurological disease type of thing. And I need to share that with you. I am not an expert at this, but I am an expert at knowing my own problems and knowing what I got delivered from. And I like to see the workings of the mind, because once I boiled this down, then I said, there's no excuse. I'm going to stand on God's word no matter what. That prison will no longer hold me. Ever. And so there's a defect in that organ called the brain. If life is not being lived according to God's will, God's authority, God's word, because there is no power but of God, how can you live according to something else if it doesn't exist? Well, it's masquerading like it does, and that's the mental prisons. There are symptoms because of that defect. And I want to show you some of those. So it has to fit the model if it's going to qualify as a disease. And when you have things going on in the mind that are keeping one from being subject unto the only power, then we got a problem. We got a problem. And see, we were rescued from death unto life. We were taken from the weak to the strong. We now walk in the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, while we await the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are delivered people. We're incredible. And our minds are not just places where thoughts transpire. Our minds are amazing how God made them and how we designed them. This neurological thing that the brain has, whenever there's a disease, I want to address it. It's not a psychological disease. It's not an illness. It's neurological. It happens between the ears. And we're going somewhere with this, so bear with me. You see, whenever somebody has an addiction where they have to drop something for this, at the sake of everything else, there's a disease present. There's a problem present. And that problem needs to get fixed. And God's word is the fix. And it's called being made free. It's called coming out of the mental prison. There's going to be changes that happen in a person's personality, in the way that they live. When a Christian goes from manifesting Christ in them in the fullness of God to turning away, there's a disease present. There's a problem that happens. And we see records of that, and we'll look at that in the book of Acts in a minute. Well, when somebody is behaving differently and it's not known how to deal with it, the same as the tumor when somebody has a tumor and it is diagnosed, they go, they have a tumor, they act like this. But if it's not being diagnosed, you know what people say? Oh, they got a bad lifestyle, or that's just them. They've always been like that. They've never really defined it, fixed it, and ministered to it. Well, we know in our lives that as we hold forth God's word, we do that day in and day out. We don't just say that's the way you need to be. That's acceptable if it's something that's not. We teach God's word. We help God's word. We help them come out of mental prisons. So I'm not speaking of things that we're not familiar with. I'm speaking of things that we know very well and that we live according to. There is no excuse for neurological diseases, for things that are out of whack, but everything gets excused out there in the world when it comes to this because people simply don't have the answers. They know that drugs can't fix it. They know that abstinence doesn't do it. There's all kinds of self-help programs for all kinds of these things that go on out there in life. That the first time a person takes a drink, maybe, guess what? They're prone to something happening that makes their brain say, go do that at the sake of everything else. That's what I'm speaking of here. But with Christians, you go, well, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't go do that. I don't have some type of lifestyle like that. But what are the prisons, though? The prisons that keep one from being their best in life. The prisons that make one angry at a moment's notice. The prisons that make one afraid, that make one do something that just not good behavior, Christ-likewise. Those are prisons also. And I want to show you about the brain, just a couple little things, because it's amazing. Do you have the brain is the frontal cortex. That's the front part of the brain. And then you have the little midbrain. It's just a little thing, kind of like in the middle of the brain. And if you can see your frontal cortex as being the whole front part of your head, and then that little midbrain being like a pea somewhere there in the middle, that's the two of them. And the frontal cortex is where your values, your ethics, your morals, your willpower, your sense of choice, your personality, they all reside in there. That's our thought. And that's why we renew our minds. When we renew our minds to God's word, that's where the word goes. It goes into that part of our mind. And if it's working properly, cool, because it produces certain things. I'll show you that in a minute. But if it's not working properly, if there's thoughts in there that are negative, that are not godly, then it's going to affect the whole psyche. It's going to affect the whole body, the values, the morals, everything. And then the lifestyle lived will be affected by that too. Well, how does that happen? What's the process? Because that little pea-sized part called the midbrain, it has a job to do, and it's called the survival part of your brain. It doesn't think. It just does. It doesn't think. It's your survival brain, and it's not your consciousness. It takes over, in a sense, and fixes things. If it detects an enemy, it fights or runs. It doesn't even weigh the consequences about it. If there's an angry tiger after you, or if there's a bear chasing you in the woods, that kicks in and you run to protect yourself. But what about if it happens in dreams or in your nightmares or a nightmare or in some type of mental process, some type even active during the day? It makes you think you got to run, fight or flight. That's what this midbrain does. And I wanted to explain that it makes a person afraid, scared, they're going to die, that somebody's the enemy. That's that little pea brain thing. And if it doesn't have God's word to go draw from in the frontal part of the mind, guess what it does? It comes up with its own things. And it does it instantly. It can come up with all kinds of vivid imagery, and it pulls from the thoughts to do that. And that's the way that God made our minds to do. He also made our minds to be filled up with His word. Yeah, so the angry tiger or the bear chasing you, it's an active midbrain. And the functions that it has is to eat, drink water, because I've got to have that. In fact, who sold his soul for a morsel of bread? Esau, Jacob? Midbrain. The bad choice, because he was the firstborn. That's something in the Old Testament. The fight or flee from a predator, and number two, and the procreate, number three. That's it. That's the only three things that it does from the learning that have been able to do. Well, there's a connection, and I want to show this to you because it's so real, it's so life-changing, that when a baby is born, what is the first thing, one of the first things we do for the baby? We get it to eat. We get the baby to eat. Why? Well, the baby's going to die if it doesn't eat. But that's not the only reason, because that baby can live for a while without any nutrients once it's born. We get it to eat so that a product gets released in the mind called dopamine that connects the midbrain to the frontal brain, and then the baby's first experience is, besides being held and loved, is being fed. It's rewarded, and it feels good. This dopamine that's released makes the baby feel good, and it instantly or very quickly learns that it wants mama's milk. And that's the connection that baby's first teaching, that it gets rewarded for doing good. And the good that it needed to do was to eat. And that's the first functioning of the brain and in the learning of that little baby. Isn't that cool? If the brain thinks it's not going to survive, the baby's going to crave food and die. If it doesn't have that link, that's why some babies don't eat. They just won't. They haven't made that link. And it's rare, but it does happen. And so there's a link there, and it's that dopamine that does that. And the pleasure that is received is that the baby's satisfied, and then the interaction with the mother. And I think that's just a beautiful thing. It's called the reward system, a part of the mind's pleasure system. And that reward system, so far with the baby, it hasn't been compromised. It's not messed up. It's not broken. There's just a great life going. Baby gets held by mommy. The baby eats. Everybody's happy. The baby lets mommy know by a little bit of crying, but it settles down real quickly. That's what's so beautiful about that. And so motivation to eat is what happens first in a baby's life. Well, in our lives, the motivation of the pursuit of pleasure things can be a great motivator to pursue something that gives pleasure. And God's word is designed to give pleasure. The pleasure from God's word is above all. There's nothing that can be compared to it. And the motivation for the pursuit of pleasure can also extend in worldly environments to include the pursuits of other things. And the reason why that happens is what I wanted to share with you, because, you know, in your body, and we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in your body, if you get a fever, that means your body's trying to burn off something, but your normal temperature is, let's say, 98.6. The temperature goes up, and then when the fever's gone, the temperature goes back down. If you get too cold, your temperature goes down, but it wants to come back up. There's a set point in there. There's a set point of your body temperature. Well, in your neurological, you have a set point in your dopamine, your pleasure, your feeling good. The baby has it. It knows when it's satisfied. And it's whatever that set point is. Let's just call it normal lifestyle. And when that normal lifestyle is happening, then you get fed, you have the nutrients, you have the family, you have all the other cool things. What happens with addictions, in the world form of addictions, somebody gets introduced to something that makes that dopamine spike. And all of a sudden, their normal range of that pleasure reward thing goes up. And then they have to have that again and again and again. So what happens with that is that the normal way of life that used to produce it, and it still does produce the dopamine, it no longer meets that new higher level that was falsely induced by that thing, that substance. any kind of thing that does that. The dopamine produced in a normal way doesn't hit it. So they don't feel excited. They don't feel joyful. They don't feel happy. And they feel like they're discouraged in life. But their life is the same way. And so they stop doing the things they want to do. This is part of the turning away that happens with people that walk away from God's Word. Something else has come into play and has taken over. And it's changed that neurological thing in their mind. I don't know a whole lot more about it than that. But I do know that that's how it works. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 6 to 8. This is about the nursing mother. I shared about the baby. I want to share about the mother. Because we all know the interactions of our baby, of our children, if we've had children, or those that we're siblings with, or those that we know, that the interactions, the love, the tenderness, the care, the results, the normal family way. It's so beautiful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul said, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. We were like those nursing mothers among you, and you fed from us. You fed God's Word. We were able to feed you God's Word." The gentleness, the care, the dopamine being released, the normal Christian lifestyle was happening. The pleasure from the interaction together parallels that of a baby as the baby's learning how to eat. Verse 8, "So being affectionately desirous of you," like a nursing mother, "we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." The dearness, the imparting, giving one's life in service, that's what happens when there's a normal functioning of this stuff I just explained. It works like that. The dopamine and stuff. There's another one that actually is the executor of it that helps too, but I'm just not going to go there. But I just want to share that how amazing our minds are, how they work, how beautiful it is. You know, if we had no pleasure in life, we would just have no desire to continue living. We would start saying things like, "I don't want to live anymore. I'm old. I'm not worth anything to anybody." You start narrowing your focus on how your life is. But the truth is, you get that dopamine released, it changes everything. So the question is, how do we do that? Proverbs chapter 5. I appreciate you bearing with me on this. Because our minds are not just like an organ that thoughts go around in. They're something that God designed us to exercise, to use, to understand, at least from His Word, so that we can make full use of it and live accordingly. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18. Verse 18, "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." Verse 19, "Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her loved." Well, things have to give you joy and pleasure on a regular basis, or depression, melancholy, that all sets in. It just sets in. Things, the way God set up life, the way He structured our lives, the way He structured how to live together, are designed to give great joy and great pleasure. And the manifesting of that comes from His authority and His dunamis in action. And in the Christian family, that's no exception. Things have to give joy and pleasure. And I love how it speaks to the husband and wife here. I love how it speaks to the Christian family, that those ministering God's Word were like nursing mothers, those that were receiving it. It's an amazing thing. Dopamine is what says that life is awesome. Now, God's Word says that. So when you put God's Word on in your mind, you live according to it, it gets activated, then that dopamine, that chemical in the brain that connects thoughts together, it says that life is awesome. It says this is great. It says I'm having a good time. It says I love this. It's the neural transmitter that we're addicted to. It's the neural transmitter that we want to have energized. We like dopamine. You can't even, we've not even been able to define it, unless those who've gone to the, you know, school and stuff like that. But it's what gets produced. It's what produces those feelings. And that's great. A newborn baby, husband and wife, interaction between God's families, they all release the same thing, dopamine, and they all give pleasure. Pleasure is pleasure. Ah, the rewards of life. Well, thank you, God, for energizing that dopamine stuff. Pretty cool. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, as I pull this together. Dopamine, the enemy, and turned away. Because we've just seen it on the good side. We've just seen what it does. Explained a little bit about the frontal lobe and the midbrain and the little OP brain thing and how that fight or flight and got to have food, sell my soul for a morsel of bread and those kind of things. But look at this in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. And you can read, start earlier if you'd like, but I'm going to focus on this one verse. Paul said to the Galatian believers in Galatia, am I therefore, verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? For some, truth has become an enemy. And those that are holding forth that truth, they are the enemy. Happened here in Galatia. The walk away from truth is due to a broken dopamine and reward system. There's something broken up there in that little process I just explained. It's broken. Not working right. There's some other dopamine-produced rewards or something going on that's exceeded it, and this dopamine that gets produced by living according to truth, by being around believers, by fellowshipping with believers, by studying God's Word, by abundantly sharing, by a walking agape lifestyle, it's still producing dopamine in the good feelings, but it's not hitting that set point. That set point in the brain has been messed with, and it's higher. It's got some kind of artificial thing producing dopamine that's exceeding. And so the same feelings, the same emotions, the same wanting to do, it's no longer the same. Do you see the link here where there's something broken? And it was broken with those Galatian believers. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Yeah, the believing that one's an enemy, it's due to a broken dopamine and reward system. Believing a lie. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Here's Paul again. Boy, he sure went through it, didn't he? This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. They're turned away from me, of whom are Philetus and Hermogenes. All they, an incredible shifting of faith from Christ back to worldly things, back to five senses things. Their dopamine set points is so screwed up, messed up in the head. Yeah, and you just look at them, you go, oh, they're not walking on God's word anymore. There's something. What happened? I don't see them for dust. What's going on? Don't know. Well, yeah, you do. Their little dopamine receptors are artificially inflated by something else, by some other kind of worldly addiction. By something, by some substance, by some thought process that is no longer, well, it may have stimulated them one time, but it raised that level and it really messed it up. And so whatever's being produced from normal lifestyles now, it's not hitting the target. And so you don't want anything to do with it. Why? Walk away from it. They walked away from it. They walked away from truth. They walked away from God's Word. So understanding how our beautiful minds work, it's going to give us a fighting chance to stand on and help others stand on the truth. Truth is never an enemy. It's the midbrain, that little pea brain thing, telling the mind that it is. Nothing more. This is what I wanted to share with you, that when you've got a fight or flight, when you have to drop everything to do something, when you have to forsake any and all things at whatever risk to feed, to satisfy, to nurture, to do that thing, it's a lie, and it's nothing more than the midbrain telling the mind and coming up with some fabricated imagery that it's okay to do and you must do it. Well, I'm here to tell you, you tell that midbrain, stop. But I got to show you how. It's the midbrain telling the mind that this is truth and you need to do this. This is the mental prison of the midbrain's choosing based on its fabrication of the false imaginations that God says cast down. Cast down these false imaginations and every false thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. It's nothing more. Wrong doctrine, past experiences, these triggers in life that I shared with you, there were six of them in teaching number three. Non-dopamine producing experiences or excessive dopamine producing experiences, they lead to this thinking truth is an enemy. They lead to the turning away from the truth of God's Word. Well, you all can be so proud of yourselves. You see how beautiful your mind is. You see how you're standing on God's Word. And even if you didn't know all the answers, you're not budging on it. You're not walking away from the faith of your Lord Jesus Christ. You're standing. Come hell or high water, you're not budging. And you can be so proud of that. That's the strength of your mind, your intellect, your innermost being, who you are, your morals, your standards, your lifestyle. I love being around you. I love being with you because there is none greater, because it's the Christ in you being manifested. Yeah, an incredible shifting of faith. Romans chapter 12, the final is stress relief and release from the mental prisons. Just trying to make this a little bit practical. There's a lot of blanks maybe that need to get filled in, and that's okay. But stress relief and release from mental prisons. That frontal lobe that we talked about, the mind, where your thoughts go on and go into. This renewed mind, it's the only part of the brain that is capable of telling the midpoint, that little pea brain, that midbrain, what to do. The renewed mind has God's authority and God's power backing it, where you can say to self, no. You can tell self, I will not believe that truth is an enemy. I will not believe the lie that it's trying to tell me. Break it down for a minute. Break it down. The stressors in life demand that dopamine gets produced. The fears in life demand that dopamine gets produced. The anxieties in life demand that dopamine gets produced. When dopamine gets produced from God's way, from interaction with His family, from interaction with His Word, when dopamine gets produced in the marriage by the husband and wife, living like God set it up to do and not some type of outside extraneous way, when dopamine gets produced by the way God said it needs to get produced, then it's Katie barred the door. All holds are off. You can live that way to the fullest. And God expects us to. And when dopamine is produced like this, it brings relief. But when an individual tries to go and get dopamine produced to relieve stress, to relieve anxiety, to relieve fears, to relieve purported lies, it's always a failure. And it ends up in demise. It's a downward spiral. Spiritual growth in our Christian lives is the answer. It's how we have a fighting chance, coupled with the Spirit of God working in us, that my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. My ways are above your ways. Put on my word and you will get delivered. He sent his word and healed them. There's nothing that can cause God's word to stop. God's word applied brings us to our desired haven. It gives us our expected end. There is nothing that is more powerful than God's word. Those things that are masquerading with the power of God, they are a lie, and they have ulterior motives and an end that will end in demise. It's not the way God's word set it up. God's word is the only power. Growth spiritually happens in the frontal cortex of the brain. Romans chapter 12 to close with verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12. This is God speaking to you. This is what God says in his word. I beseech you. I know what your minds are capable of, but I gave you your minds. I gave you the ability to logic, to reason, to live life to the fullest. It's your choice. Your choice to do that. But I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. God says, I'm withholding any kind of whatever judgment out there because I've judged you worthy in Christ Jesus. By my mercy, I'm withholding that. As you work to live, to renew your minds, to stand on my word. And I have no greater joy that you walk in truth than to hear that you walk in truth. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is how you should arrange yourself. This is how you should addict yourself. This is the arranging in order so that you can minister to the saints, so that you can receive from those ministering my word like a nursing mother, so that you can give my word, so that you can live in your relationships as a brother and sister in Christ, or as a husband and wife the way I designed it. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let that dopamine work. Let it work. I'm the one that set it up, God says, and I like to energize that. But don't let it get some weird set point based on some other kind of crack type addiction, some other type of mental fabrication where you got a good pleasure at one point, you got to keep trying to replicate it. Walk away from it by walking to my word. And as you do that, some beautiful things are going to happen. Because what you're doing, you're proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of me, your Heavenly Father. You're proving my will. You're proving what I set up to be right. You're calling my word truth. Give your renewed mind a minute. One of my guys at work, he goes, Joe, I say, are we getting that job done? He goes, give me a minute. They always, you know, give me a few more minutes. Well, to the renewed mind, give it a minute. Stop being so antsy-pantsy about it. Give it a minute. And sometimes to quiet that midbrain, because this is a process, a healing process. To quiet the old midbrain, that old pea part of the brain, it could take a while. It could take a year. It could take 6 months. It could take 3 days. But give it some time. The process that is happening is that those thresholds for pleasure, they're starting to drop down again to 98.6. Well, I'm not putting the temperature, but you know how the temperature thing works. You ever had a fever? We all have. And if we ever get a fever for something else, we need to let it calm down. Let it come down. Give it a minute. The thresholds for pleasure are coming back down. The dopamine, it's getting reestablished the way God set it up. And when renewed mind principles are applied, this process is happening. You can be guaranteed of it because God's word is true. And if you think it's not, then that's believing a lie. That's another mental prison. It is difficult, if not impossible, to live an extended amount of time without experiencing joy or pleasure. Come back to the joy of God's word. Put on the greatness of God's word. Renew the mind to the greatness of God's word by going through the principles that we know so well. tell self, I am abstaining. I am not going to walk in that kangaroo court. I will not live that way, and walk away from it. And that's the process that may take a little bit of time. This is just the way our life is. It's beautiful. And we have each other to work through this with. Yeah. Not having any joy in life makes one feel like they are in prison. Prison. That's a mental prison. Not having joy is a mental prison. You ever thought about it like that? Well, how do you have joy? It's fruit of the Spirit. Operate the manifestation. Speak in tongues. It produces that. It takes you right out of that prison. Oh, there's so much more. The answer for release from all mental prisons is focusing on truth, on our spirituality, on what God has done for us. The truth shall make you free, and continuing in that. This is the part of the brain, that front part of the brain, by renewed mind process, by our living in godliness, that can and will overpower that overwhelming, controlling, lying little midbrain when it's dealing with life in a false way. It just does. That's truth. And I'm not talking about religion here. I'm talking about our spirituality, our true and vital spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father. And any kind of skill in life, and I'm talking about the skill to renew the mind and to live accordingly and to walk according to truth, it stresses truth. Truth has to be there. The lies that are out there, they are overwhelming. But truth is our companion, and we live according to it. With somebody in the out there in the drug world, this is a worldly thing, but when they're out there in the drug world and they use a substance that is addictive and causes instant dopamine of rising in their body, their coping skills and truth fly out the window. That's why that even with great standing Christian believers, if and when they respond to some type of addiction, they will forsake family, they will forsake friends, they will forsake their job, they will do whatever it is to satisfy that. And I'm not trying to make a point of this, I'm trying to tell you that you can break the link with renewed mind, and it's only that little pea-sized part of the brain that is actually trying to control the mental prisons. Isn't that a relief? Isn't that a relief to know that? They instantly forget all their coping skills. So you reteach yourself godly behavior. You be around Christian believers that are standing on God's word. We are those people. And as people come into our life that want to stand on God's word, we help, we love, we care for. This is the strengthening that frontal cortex that I speak of, that's the ultimate goal in the renewed mind. This is part of the renewed mind by being transformed and by casting down imaginations. This is the practical aspect and the keys for release from mental prisons. Amen.